Our Father, we do praise you for your goodness and your mercies new to us every morning. Would now, as we hear you speak, we ask that we would become increasingly aware and thankful for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, do please be seated. And the question this morning is how to be a hypocrite. Maybe you've always wondered how to be a hypocrite. Well, if so, good news, because today there's help available. In our reading from Matthew's Gospel, we see three surefire ways to successful hypocrisy. So do listen in with me. Page 999, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, picking it up at verse 23. Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." So we've seen, haven't we, since Matthew 21, we've been in Jerusalem with Jesus. Remember, he entered, hailed by the crowds as the king promised from God, which of course he was. And yet the Jewish leaders, we've seen, far from celebrating, are hostile. They keep trying to catch him out, but they have failed. Now, here in Matthew 23, Jesus has been giving us his verdict on Israel's leadership. We've seen so far it's been scathing. And last week we saw Jesus' first three woes against them. And this week we've got the next three. And listening in will answer our question, how to be a hypocrite. Well, first, obsess on the details. Obsess on the details. Let's imagine you go around to see your friends for lunch, Mr. and Mrs. Pharisee. And they are the self-sustaining types. They grow their own herbs in the back garden. And they're pleased to tell you it's been a bumper crop this year, which you're about to savour and enjoy. But just before the herbs, of course, go into the pot, wait. They carefully count them out and set aside 1 in 10. You see, that's for God. Only then do they cook the meal. And as you observe that, well, what do you make of it? The obvious impression you get is, well, that is scrupulous. That is attentive, right down to the details. It is impressive. They are surely obviously passionate, committed to do things God's way. Verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, who tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." So yes, according to the scriptures, tithing did require giving a tenth of everything, and yes, that would go down to the produce of the herb garden. And yet, Jesus says, it's more than possible to do that in a way that is obsessing about these details, but missing out on the big picture, on what really matters. And of course, this kind of hypocrisy is still with us, and it finds its way into the church still today. That scrupulous attention to detail, to the correct way of doing things, the right colour, the form of words that you use, what to do and when, where to go. All that is there, and yet, that's not to say those details are wrong, or to say that they don't matter up to a point. But Jesus says there is a problem when obsessing on the details obscures what really matters. Obvious question, what does then really matter in Jesus' day and today? And he gives us that three-word summary in verse 23, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You might say, well, why do those matter so much? Well, if only those religious leaders paid more attention to the scriptures, it would be obvious. Let me remind you, back in the book of Exodus, part of the law, Moses, that great prophet, asked God to see his glory. God responds by revealing himself and says this, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. God's glory, who he is in himself, what he's like, his character. Well, this is it. God is just. He is merciful. He is faithful. And that's almost like a theme tune then that runs all through the scriptures. Even more than that, of course, when Jesus entered our world, God with us, we're told he came full of glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So all that means, quite simply, how can you spot people who know their God? Not primarily what they do with the herbs. More, are they marked, like Jesus, with justice and mercy and faithfulness? And yes, those will then work themselves out in the details of obeying God. Now, of course, if you'd asked those Pharisees, they'd have said, of course, we are all for justice and mercy and faithfulness. As ever, they'd have talked a good game. Look how Jesus goes on, verse 24. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. They're really good at seeing the gnat, the details, the herbs. But you might have thought, therefore, they've got great insight. But no, Jesus says, they are blind. They actually couldn't see this great camel standing before them, which, of course, is basically saying they can't see what God is like. And we know that for sure because, of course, the God they professed to know was now standing before them in human form, and they wanted to get rid of him. They couldn't see who he was. Again, there'll be applications today, even in the church. Those sticklers for details never seem to speak of the Lord Jesus, aren't concerned for others to know him. They haven't realized it's all about Christ. Because if you know Christ, that will transform the kind of people that we are, kind of people that we long to be in the whole shape of our lives, right through to the details. That is, we'll be like God. We'll be concerned for people's good, and we will value faithfulness. So then, we've seen how to be a hypocrite. First, obsess on the details, but there's more help from Jesus. The second way to be a hypocrite, prioritize the externals. Now, you know on TV now, the new series of the GICO has arrived, which, as you know, is the Great Israeli Clean-Off. So you're in the tent. Who can do the best job of cleaning the crockery? Imagine the justices going around, the judges going around the tent, and do they reach the Pharisees' worktop? Well, the judges, as they approach, are impressed. It's immaculate, shiny, polished. Pretty obvious, it seems, who's heading for cleaners of the week. But then a judge picks up a cup and looks inside. Verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. I distinctly remember that while I was at university and we lived in a student house one year, there was a mug that just got left on the side during washing up, you know, more than once. And once it had been there a few days, we obviously have that none of us was actually going to go and touch it and clean it on principle. I think days actually went to weeks, and then one day we got home and one of our female flatmate housemates was in tears. What's the matter? She said she'd looked inside the mug, and then she was saying something about how she simply couldn't live in such a place. Well, you could say if only the Pharisees felt the same way about what was on the inside of their lives. Oh yes, they were sticklers for cleaning the mugs and that ritual sort of purity. But actually far worse than what can grow inside a mug, these Pharisees on the inside were full of greed and self-indulgence. All of God's law is meant to direct us to God and to others, but still these Pharisees, actually, it was about themselves, what they wanted. And this is reminding us what humanity's problem is. It's not that we do or don't keep the minutiae of religious observance. Sometimes people outside the church think that's what we're about, but it's not. Although maybe some in the church give that impression. Because the problem is on the inside, the heart. Greed and self-indulgence. Jesus told us that's what we're all like by nature. But if we know God, if we follow Christ, well, we know we've got to change this with God's help from the heart. And remember, even in Matthew's gospel, we've heard Jesus say now we must deny ourselves. So die to that old, self-centered, lack of self-control kind of person. Instead, now, if you know Christ, live for him from the heart. And again, that will then work itself out to the outside. Hence verse 26, you blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, then the outside also may be clean. So he's saying again to these Pharisees, you're blind. Or we could even say it's selective sight, isn't it? Blinkered vision, obsessing with cleaning those cups, but that's really just cleaning the outside. They are oblivious to the inside of themselves. Well, let's ponder this. Remember last week we thought about why we are listening to these woes. We saw that one reason is they expose what others are up to, maybe even within the church, so that we can realize that and avoid them and not be fooled by external religiosity. But of course, at the same time, it does challenge us too. As we meet on a Sunday morning like this, I think we brush up quite well, most of us. But of course, what's not immediately obvious is what has really been going on the inside, whether we've been putting as much effort and, of course, much more into making that pleasing to the Lord. So there you are, two top tips so far to be a hypocrite. Obsess on the details, prioritize the externals. And the third way, well, look good. Think of a graveyard. A well-kept graveyard can be a beautiful place. Maybe greenery and flowers, a meandering path through it. Sometimes people might go there for a walk. Maybe there'd be carved, beautiful, ornate headstones. And yet we don't say it explicitly that often, but let's not forget, it's a place of rotting corpses. And hence verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. Now, of course, here Jesus is assuming the Old Testament cleanliness laws, which, of course, the Pharisees would profess to be experts in, and they'd be delighted to tell you about them. The uncleanness that one would contract by touching a dead body or even going close to them or to a grave was actually among the most serious uncleanness in the Mosaic law. So the Pharisees would have been the first to tell you to avoid that kind of uncleanness at all cost. But Jesus says that these Pharisees themselves and their very teaching was the source of that kind of uncleanness. That is, anyone who came near them was not taken closer to God, but further away. Jesus goes on, verse 28, so you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So Jesus is saying, put your mind to it and you can pull the wool over people's eyes. You can fool them most of the time. People are taken in by a pretense of righteousness, but certainly not Jesus. He sees through it. So again, we see verse 28, he highlights hypocrisy, but notice what he also says, lawlessness. Now that would have enraged these religious leaders. If nothing else, surely they were about the law. But a passion for the law is not seen in being aware of the law or even knowing it or even memorizing it or even teaching it or even keeping it, if by that it's done selectively What is the law about? It's about knowing the God whose character it reflects. And so it's about living wholeheartedly according to the whole shape of life the law presents, because that is what it's like to become more like our God. And so by that standard, that is the standard actually the law gives of itself, these religious leaders were lawless. In fact, later in the New Testament, in 1 John, as we heard from our second reading, sin is defined, we might be surprised to realize, not as law-breaking, but sin is lawlessness. That's reminding us that although sin does need to be understood sometimes as breaking laws, because it is that, there is a sense in which sin is a refusal to live according to the law at all. That is, a refusal to recognize that God gets to set the priorities and call the shots and tell us what that means in detail, that we can't pick and choose. So instead, that is rejected. So the religious leaders, despite all the chat, actually refused the law. They wouldn't listen to it. They decided for themselves. They might pick and choose one or other of the laws that they might keep, and the more you could see it, the better. But when it came to submitting their hearts to the priorities and principles God gave, no way. You might say they were law to themselves, but with respect to God's law, they were lawless. That means they were hypocrites. They weren't actually listening at all. One of my predecessors here at St. Bennet's, Thomas Adams, back in the 17th century, I picked up some of his sermons this week. He did speak on this passage, so we can learn from the wisdom of 300 or so years ago. And he said this: hypocrites are like pictures on a canvas. They show fairest at farthest. That is, from a distance, you may well be impressed by such religious leaders. But close up, and certainly if you can see on the inside, well, not so much. There's blindness, there's impurity, and so danger. Thomas Adam goes on, a hypocrite is like the Sicilian volcano Mount Etna, flaming at the mouth when it hath snow at the foot. That is, a hypocrite talks the talk, but does not walk the walk. Well, these six ways we've heard from Jesus so far offer a devastating verdict on these religious leaders. Ultimately, whatever they say, they simply do not know God. They don't listen to him, and so they aren't like him. All along, they were meant to be the people looking after others. And of course, we get the sense from Jesus, this is intolerable. It can't go on. And at the same time, remember how these Pharisees are treating Jesus. It's all obviously coming to a head. Well, indeed, Jesus says, woe to them repeatedly. But where will that lead? Where will it come to? Well, we'll look at the final woe next Sunday here at St. Bennet's. Let me lead us in a prayer as we close. Father, we do praise you for what you are like, that you are a God of justice, of mercy, and of faithfulness. We praise you that we can know you supremely in the Lord Jesus. And thank you that your character is revealed in all that you did for us in him. And so in response, would we long to become more like you? Would we truly listen to what you have to say and humbly seek to obey from the weightier matters right through to the details? And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.